Okay, good deal. Hey, you know, boy, you sounded good. I just wanted to let you all, you sounded good. Oh, it's just so good to see all of you together in one room. And I just want to take the opportunity to introduce someone that really doesn't need an introduction. But Pastor Charlie, who was the pastor here at Indian Rocks for 37 years. And so, yeah. But I'm not going to tell you a whole lot about what you already know. But the one things I want to tell you about is that you know that since I have been here, there has not been anyone that's been a bigger encourager, cheerleader, one who will talk to me and to share with me things and give me thoughts and directions and advice than Pastor Charlie. He's been a true friend. And I appreciate Pastor Charlie, his spirit, and how God has used him through the years, and especially how God has used him here in Largo, Florida. So, without any more, I don't want to take you more of his time. I'd like to introduce, and I'd like for you to give a great welcome, having Pastor Charlie back here to share with us. All right.
Thank you. The other day when Stephanie and I were coming in, and I want to say we are just so honored and so thrilled to be here this weekend, and I want to thank you as a church family for just having us back again. We always love coming back, and you are ever in our hearts, always in our prayers, and it's just a great time. But anyway, I had a radio program from here within the church family that they were asking about the beginning of the Jamboree, Jeff, and how we got this started back years ago. I can't remember if it was 1973 or 1974 when we had our first, we called it a camp out. It was a camp out that first time, and we had a bluegrass band and a quartet that sang and camped out behind the little church. The little church looked like a motel when I came here back in 1971, and I couldn't ever get the people. Even on Sunday morning, you'd drive by the church down next to where Burger King is now. Nothing was down there then. And I would introduce myself and say I was from First Baptist Church of Indian Rocks, and they said, "Well, where is that?" And I said, they said, "Oh, I thought that was a motel." Everybody thought it was a motel. Because on Sunday morning, all the people that went to the church, which weren't many, but they would all park behind the building, behind the church. So you could drive by on Sunday morning and you'd see one or two cars. And I did everything to try to get people to move their cars around front. And so I couldn't do it. So one day I just had an idea. I went down to Hammock Hardware and I bought a 2-pound bag of grass seed. And I came back and I sowed that grass seed all where the cars parked on. And then I roped it off and I said, "Grass, fresh grass seed, park somewhere else." and it made a all of a sudden the next day after the first Sunday, I was bumping into people and said, "What's going on at that church? And there are cars everywhere." And I said, "Well, it was the same people. They just parking in the front of the church." But the Jamboree started, and we had a great time, and then we graduated to having an old tent. And some of you old-time deacons will remember the night of the big storm. And we called it the night of the big storm and the night of the flying deacons. And because the old tent had metal poles that came down that were holding it up, and the storm was so bad that night, that we thought the tent was going to get sucked up. And I had to get the deacons and other heavy men to hold on to the poles. And it didn't work. There were deacons swinging around holding on to those poles. But they held the tent down, and that was, I think, about our third Jamboree. But all those times, everything that we've always done, was to have a clear opportunity to present the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so that has been the heart, and that has been the reason for that old saying that you've heard so many times. The main thing is to keep the main thing. The main thing. Because you get away from the main thing. And guys, it is tragic, tragic times. So we're so thrilled to be back here today. And I want to talk to you this morning because this is different, I think, from any other time I have ever been here, any other time I have ever spoken to the church. Because God has been doing a work in my life over the, I'd say, maybe the last couple of years in the area of realizing something that I don't think I had ever really noticed before. And I just love it the way the same old Bible I've always read. I just keep finding new things I never saw. And when I get something fresh, I will tell you, I can hardly take it. And I get so excited about it. And I realize that all my life, I've been praying for divine appointments. And I finally woke up and saw they've been there all the time. I just never noticed them. I think that's why Jesus had to say, Pastor Jeff, 7 times in the 7 letters to the churches in the book of Revelation, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. And so I want to talk to you today about divine appointments. I want you to take your Bible, turn with me over to Acts 16. And while you're turning there, I want to tell you a story that happened this last Monday. This is just some of the fresh divine appointments, but I was getting ready to go on visitation. A group of men in our church, we get together every Monday afternoon, meet in a sports bar in Boone. And we have chicken wings. We eat wings and we sit around in the bar and pray with our waitresses and witness to people. But they love us in there and we love them. And I tell you, God's just doing a great thing there. But I didn't have a visitation partner for Monday night, and I pinned one of the guys and I said, "Hey, David, I need you to go on visitation with me tonight because I don't have a partner." And I said, "I've got one appointment, but sometimes those are my most fun ones because I just have realized that sometimes when everything fails, appointments are made, people cancel out, my partner cancels out, something happens." But we went out on visitation. Before we left, one of the ladies that works in the little school across the road from our church, she's a cook there. And she told me about a little boy, and of course I know the little boy. He's been coming to our WANA program, and his sister got saved and baptized, and she became a member of our church. She's 14 years old. And it's a very, very, it's a very touching home situation. I'll just leave it at that. And the mother in the home, and the teacher, the cook told me, she said, "Brother Charlie," she said, you know this little boy?" And I said, "Yeah." She said, "Well, today is his 6th birthday." And she said, "He always eats his breakfast and his lunch at school because that's what they have." And so she said, today is his birthday, and he had a real sad face today. And she said, she called him by name. She said, "Aren't you excited about your birthday?" And he has a little speech impediment. He said, "Well, nobody coming. I don't know. We invite people, but I don't know if anybody's coming." And she said, "I went out and bought him some gifts today and a birthday cake. And I wonder if I could get you to take it over to him. I have to be careful as an employee of the public school system, what I'd say and what I do." But she said, "This little boy is near to my heart." Well, make a long story short, we went over there that night. You got to go over the river and through the woods to grandmother's house. They're at the end of the trail, at the end of the road, and way back in the woods, way back in the mountains. And David and I went there, and we looked through the window. The little boy was sitting in a chair all by himself in the living room and knocked on that door. And he looked up, and he saw my face. He ran to the door, threw it open, and he said, "Somebody came. Thank you, God. And 6 years old, I said, what is he just... And David and I went on in, and his mother came in, his sister heard the commotion, she came in, and we laid down the bags that the lady had bought the gifts and the cake and all like that. And that little boy hugged my leg 1,000 times, and he just kept saying, thank you, God, thank you, God. And we left that night. I was so choked up, I didn't even want to talk. Just like right now. I didn't even want to talk. And the guy that was with me, he couldn't talk. He was weeping. He was wiping tears. We got out to the truck. We'd sit there for a minute. He said, Brother Charlie, he said, is this what you call a divine appointment? I said, yes, sir. Now, I won't tell you, people, divine appointments are everywhere. They're all through the Bible. They're all over the Old Testament. They're all in the New Testament. Moses at the burning bush. Can you imagine such a divine appointment? Can you imagine Isaiah in Isaiah 6 where he said, it was the year in which King Uzziah died. And I was in the temple and I saw the Lord high and lifted up and his veil filled the temple. What a divine appointment. But I want you to know that I know God brought me here. Just like he sent Philip from God out of the town of Samaria in a time of great revival, sent him down to Gaza in the middle of the desert to an Ethiopian man who had been all the way from Ethiopia to Jerusalem to worship God. And he was on his way home, still lost, still on his way to hell, still in his sins, but he was searching for God. And God brought Philip, one of the first 7 deacons, an evangelist, and hooked him up. And you remember the story. When Philip walked over to him, the Spirit of God had sent him to Gaza. The angel said, go over and connect with this man in the chariot. And he went over to the man, and the man had a scroll. He was reading Isaiah 53 about Jesus. And Philip asked him, he said, do you understand what you're reading? And the man replied back there in Acts chapter 8, how can I unless somebody guides me? I want to tell you today, God sent me here for one person. I don't know who you are today. And I don't know where you're sitting today. But I know God brought me here with this message for somebody that's very special to him today. Let's look at our text there. In the book of Acts, chapter 16, beginning down in verse 5. And so were the churches established in the faith, and they increased in number daily. Now when this was Paul and Silas and Timothy, who was brand new traveling with Paul and Silas. You'll see in the verse 2 up there. It says verse 6, now when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, and were forbidden by the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. That's what I call a closed door, okay? Sometimes God speaks through open doors. Sometimes God speaks through closed doors. But this was a closed door. The Holy Spirit closed the door to Phrygia. Verse 7. After they were come to Mysia, they attempted to go into Bithynia. But here again, the Spirit suffered them not. Second closed door. What do you do when you come to locked doors and closed doors? Look in verse 8. They passing by Mysia came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. And there stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And after Paul had seen the vision, immediately he said, we endeavored to go to Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Therefore, loosing from Troas, we came with a straight course to Samothracia, and the next day to Neapolis, and from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia and a colony. And we were in that city abiding for certain days. And on the Sabbath day, we went down out of the city by a riverside. And there was a prayer group meeting down there by the river where prayer was wont to be made. And we sat down and we spoke to all the women which had resorted there. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple, of the city of Thyatira, who worship God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened. Now, if you got your ballpoint pen today, I want you to circle that little phrase right there. Because, guys, this, again, the Holy Spirit is the one who convicts us of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment to come. Whose heart the Lord opened, and she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And she responded that day. She got saved. Look at verse 15. When she was baptized, and her household, her family, her children, whoever was in her household, they all got saved that day. When she got baptized and her household, she besought us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. You say, Brother Charlie, why did you have to come all the way to Indian Rocks for divine appointment? I don't have any idea. I truly mean that today. I've got plenty of divine appointments everywhere I go. I tell you what I do. I tell people I go to bed exhausted every night. I get up excited every morning, and I walk out my door expectantly every day. I believe in that old saying, you've heard me say it many times, attempt great things for God and expect great things from God. When you have prayed and you've committed your life to Christ and you do what I do, you know that it's all dependent upon Him. I can't save anybody. I can't change anybody. I can't do anything but simply to obey Him and taking His message. And I had plenty of divine appointments up in the mountains of Boone, North Carolina. So you think, why did God bring you here? I walked into the room this morning and I said, God, why am I here? Does somebody here today need to be saved? Is there somebody, God, that has loved you and they used to serve you and they used to be praying and they used to matter for the kingdom's sake, but they're just showing up now, even if they just show up now and then? Is there somebody today, God, that you're going to call back home? Is there somebody that just needs to hear me tell them, God, that you love them? As you said in Jeremiah 33, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Is there somebody that's just lost their first love and they need to come home to the faith that saved them and blessed them in their early years of salvation? Is there somebody here today, God, that you've been calling to ministry, but they're clinging and they're wrapping their arms around and holding on to the things that mean so much to all ordinary people today that have a job and a home and friendships and a comfort zone? And some of you may have just come and you've gotten so comfortable in just being here that you have lost the vision. You're like the geese that were flying over and one goose flew down and he landed in the barnyard and there was corn everywhere and there was a pond out there and he just settled in. And one day it woke up and he was just fat and happy and lazy and he saw the other geese flying overhead and all he could do was remember what life used to be back, be about when he was in the skies. And some of you need to come back to Jesus today. It may just be that one person. Well, what is God wanting to do in your life right now? I think of the Ethiopian man who got saved, God sent him all the way down there for one person. I think of Lydia, whose heart God opened. I think of the Philippian jailer over there across the page in Acts 16. And he heard Paul and Silas praying and singing praises in jail that night. And he brought them out and he said unto them, what must I do to be saved? And Paul simply responded back there in verse 30 and 31. He said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved and your house. And you know the story. In the same text of Lydia, the businesswoman, and her household coming to faith in Christ, here was this jailer that got saved that night. He was ready to kill himself with his own sword when the jail doors opened up and all the prisoners could have escaped. And he said, he just fell before Paul and Silas. And he said, what must I do to know your Lord, to know your God? For you to be in this prison and you're praying to God and you're singing. And he said, everybody else in this place hates me. I want the God that you love and serve. I want to ask you a question today. If your life was contagious, if your life was contagious, would anybody want what you got? I want to tell you that night, that man wanted what Paul and Silas had in their heart and life, and he got saved. And I've seen this so many times right here at Indian Rocks. I've seen it up at Bethel. I've seen when a daddy gets saved or a mama gets saved. There's not a mom or a dad that would ever stand before me and say, "Brother Charlie, I want all my kids to go to hell." I've never had a daddy that said to me, "Pastor, I want all my kids to go to hell." But I want to ask you today, where are you leading your kids? Now, you're leading them one place or the other. Every time I see in the Scripture a woman like Lydia who commits her life to Christ and it makes a difference in her daily spirit and attitude, and her life has changed. The Scripture still says, ladies and gentlemen, that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things are passed away, and all things are become new. I want to ask you, has your life changed? Are you still drinking the same old beer that you used to drink and still hanging out in the same old crowd that hates Jesus? There are a lot of things that don't make sense to me today. You see, in the day in which I live, somebody keeps moving the goalpost. Sometimes when my grandkids were small, I would pick them up and sit with them, and they'd just be sitting around. I said, "I want to sing you a little song. Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in His sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world." But sometimes, if they're not paying much attention, I sing this version. "Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. Red and yellow, pink and green, strangest kids I've ever seen. Jesus loves the..." And sometimes, little 2 and 3 year old grandkids will turn around and look at me, and they'll say, "That's not right, Papa." I said, "Well, let me try it again. Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. Red and yellow, black and blue, Jesus loves me more than you. Jesus loves the little children." "That's not right, Papa." Isn't it funny? Isn't it funny, guys, that sometimes little people know what's right and what's wrong? Do you know the Bible says, "Woe to them that call good evil and evil good"? I want to tell you, Pastor Jeff, if there's ever been a time that the crowd at Indian Rocks needs to hear a sermon series on marriage, is today. How absurd. How absurd that we live in a society today that keeps moving the goalpost and changing the very definition of what God calls marriage. How absurd that this year we surpassed 54,000 slaughters of the unborn in this country. Now, I don't care if it's politically correct, and I don't care if all the mayors of Houston and any other city wants to know what God has to say. God says, the Word of God says, "Prepare to meet thy God." And every person, especially who gets exalted into a place of leadership, you had better stand for God. And don't be like those that win their elections one way and change course and go another way. Because listen to me, people. Let me tell you this. Those people, along with pastors who do not preach the truth of the Word of God, I want to tell you, we are accountable. We will all stand at the judgment seat of Christ, the Bible says, and give an account of our lives. And let me tell you, people in the pew, it's the same thing in your life too. Don't change your convictions about what is right and what is wrong if one of your kids comes out of the closet. Your convictions better be based on something more important than what your kids do. Parents should lead the kids, not kids leading the parents. And firming down our decisions that we want to make in life. Now listen, when we look at this, we think about divine appointments. There is always a significant purpose about a divine appointment. It always occurs in a special place. It is always a spiritual plan, and it is always for a specific person. You may be here today and you say, "Brother Charlie, I just don't know." When you think about some things that don't sound right, just like the song that I was singing to my grandkids, I want to tell you something that doesn't sound right when you first hear it. But you're going to hear me. I'm going to define it for you. But I want you to know, I've been taught all my life that God knows everything. But I want to tell you there's five things that I have found that God doesn't know. And I want to share them with you real quickly. Real quickly. Number one, God doesn't know a sin that He does not hate. Are we in agreement? All right. The Bible says over in Proverbs 6:16, these six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto Him. And He goes down and He starts listing off sins. Can I tell you that God hates every sin in Charlie Martin's life, and He hates every sin in your life? God doesn't know a sin that He does not hate. You know why? Because to pay for it, that's one sin or two sins that you or anybody has ever committed, God still would have had to send His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for those sins. God doesn't know a sin that He does not hate. Number two, God doesn't know a sinner that He does not love. Number three, God doesn't know a soul that He cannot save. I've had people in this community as well as any place I've ever been. I've had people sit down and tell me, "Preacher, you don't want somebody like me in your church, because I tell you, if you just knew what my life is." I said, "Listen, we're all a mess. All of us have sinned. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Scripture says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God, all you have to do is receive it by faith." You say, "Preacher, I don't have any faith." Oh, yes, you do. The Bible says you do. In Romans 12:3, the Scripture says God has dealt to every man a measure of faith. Secondly, through Romans 10:17, the Bible says, "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." And then in 1 Corinthians 12:9, the Bible says, in listing the spiritual gifts, there is a spiritual gift of faith. Not everybody gets that one. But the measure of faith, you know why God dealt to every man a measure of faith? Because God knew that someday somebody might stand before Him and said, "God, you're not fair. You gave everybody else faith, but you didn't give me any." Scripture says, "No, sir." God says, "I have dealt to every man, every woman, every little boy and girl a measure of faith." I carry in my pocket a little book, very special to me, because it was through this little book that I was introduced to Christ as an 8-year-old boy. Not this exact book, but one just like it. And I carry this little book with me now everywhere I go. And it's amazing, the divine opportunities. I had an opportunity just 2 days ago on the airplane coming in. I sat next to a young lady from Louisiana. And we got to talking, and she was just gotten out of the Air Force, and she had just gone on into medical training and gotten out. And we got talking a little bit, and I said, "Let me show you something." I pulled the book out, and I laid it over on her counter. She had her counter down. I said, "Can you read that little book to me?" And she opened it up. She said, "Well, it doesn't have any words in it." And I started talking to her, and I said, "Well, it tells a story." And I said, "It tells us a story about how we can turn our life over to God." And she said, "Oh, let me guess." She said, "Does that black page represent sin?" And I said, "You're right." I said, "That's exactly what it represents. You know, the Bible says men love darkness rather than light because our deeds are evil. That's what sin does to us." I said, "What about the red page?" She said, "Is that the blood of Jesus?" I said, "You're right again." I said, "That's very good." I said, because a lot of people think baptism washes away our sins, but the Bible said it's the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, that cleanses us from all unrighteousness. She said, as soon as I turned the page, she didn't give me a chance. She said, does that mean that His blood washes our sins away and we're white as snow? I said, very good. I said, are you a believer? She said, I am. And I said, well, let's finish up here. And we went to heaven. And then, she said, the green, she said, is that like growing and all? I said, exactly. That's what all of us are to do. We want to apply the blood of Jesus to our sins so that we can go to heaven, walk the street of gold in heaven, and then we grow in the Lord. And I said, now tell me how you came to know the Lord. And she shared her story. And I said, if you could live anywhere in the world, where would you? We talked about several things. But I said, if you could live anywhere in the world, where would you like to live? She said, Africa. I said, now that's something. She said, yes, I want to be a medical doctor and I want to go to Africa. And I said, well, I know that'll be great. And she said, well, I don't think I'm going to get to do it. I said, why? She said, well, the man I married, she said, this Ebola thing, she said, you know, and so we talked about that. I said, do you believe that God can work miracles? And she said, I do. I said, well, let's just pray that God works a miracle in the heart of your husband. And walked away from a divine appointment. This little book I used in our vacation Bible school this year, because I have a night in vacation Bible school where I sit down and talk to the kids. The night I presented it, we had, in three different sittings, we had 19 children and one adult that prayed to accept Christ. With just a little presentation of a little wordless book. The divine appointments are so special, but I want to just say to you, divine appointments are everywhere. Let me go back and give you the other two there so you have the... God doesn't know a person that He cannot save, number three. Number four, God doesn't know another way to heaven than through Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. 2 Peter 3:9 says, He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Can I tell you here today that God wants you? He wants you to profess Him as your Savior and your Lord. I want to encourage you to do that today. Number five, God doesn't know a better time for you to get saved than today. Tomorrow's not any good. Today. 2 Corinthians 6:2. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Today, if you will hear His voice. I have a fellow by the name of Butch that been eating wings with me for the last year. And he kind of likes going to the bar to eat the wings. Butch kept telling me about his pastor back home. He said, boy, he said, you need to get my pastor to come up here and preach a revival. Said, he's a really good preacher. I said, well, I'd like to have him. And isn't that funny the way they do that, Jim? So I had one of our interns just a couple of 3 months ago making phone calls for me and taking prayer requests from our congregation that I could pray with them about. And he told me, he said, I talked to a fellow named Butch. He said his wife answered the phone. She wanted you to pray that her husband would get saved. I said, well, I thought he was already saved. He told me he was saved. And he told me he's always trying to get his preacher to, you know, and everything. Well, I missed Butch for about 5 weeks, and he has a home in the beach in Carolina, and then he has a home over in Banner Elk or near us. I missed Butch for about 5 weeks, so I called him at his home out on the beach, and he said, it didn't even sound like him. He said, Brother Charlie, he said, this Butch, he said, go ahead. I said, well, Butch, you sound terrible. He said, Brother Charlie, he said, I don't know what happened. He said, I was doing great. He said, I started having problems. He said, I've had both of my kidneys have totally shut down. And he said, I'm on dialysis 3 times a week. I said, but he's a big guy. He's a 300-pound fellow. And he said, Brother Charlie, I want you to pray for me. And I said, well, Butch, I am going to pray for you. He said, well, pray for me this week. He said, it's terrible going through these dialysis. He said, I don't know. I'm scared. Well, I said, so I just took that opportunity. I said, Butch, I said, I was going to talk to you next time I saw you about this. I said, but your wife asked me to pray for you that you would be saved. I said, Butch, I said, you told me you were saved. He said, I know. And he was just trying to get me off his back, what it was. But I won't tell you what. If God has somebody that won't look up, he'll put them on their back. They ain't got any other place to look. And so Butch that day, he said, no, Brother Charlie, he said, I've never done that. And I said, Butch, I said, would you let me just share with you the gospel right now on the phone here? He said, I'd love it, Brother Charlie. So I said, Butch, listen, I got a feeling you already know everything I'm going to tell you. He said, well, I've heard it all my life. I said, I know it, Butch. I said, would you like to pray with me right now and ask Jesus to come into your life and save you? I said, we can do that right here on the telephone. If you really mean it, you really want it. He said, well, Brother Charlie, he said, I've been thinking a lot about that. And I said, well, why don't we pray right now? Would you like to do that? Well, I want to tell you, I'm really going to be thinking about that. I said, wait a minute, buddy. I'm through pussyfooting around with you. I said, let me just tell you this. Here's the facts, Butch. You might die tonight. I said, I'm just going to shoot straight with you because I'm trying to be politically correct, spiritually speaking. I said, you could die tonight. I said, I've seen many people die with shut down kidneys. And I said, let me just tell you this. Are you ready to meet God tonight? No, sir. He said, I'm not ready to meet God. I said, Butch, let me tell you this. God's given you 60 years to think about this. Time's up. Now, I tell you this. I said, I don't want to push you into it, but I'm going to ask you one more time, and then I'm through. I said, do you want to accept Jesus Christ tonight as your Savior? He said, I do. Right now, I do. And Butch prayed with me over the telephone. Before I could hang up, before I could close off the prayer, he said, and Brother Charlie, he said, I'm going to get baptized at my church down here. And he said, I'm going to follow God and I'm going to live for him. And he came back. He went to the doctor the next week. And he went in. The doctor examined him. He said, Butch, he said, What have you been doing? He said, well, I've just been doing the dialysis machine, like you said. He said, Butch, your kidneys are functioning at 64%, both kidneys. Butch went to his church there on the beach. He got baptized. He came back. He got all of his old wing buddies and their families and all, and took us all out to a fancy restaurant for a steak dinner, paid for everything. And I want to tell you what a difference in a man's life. But guys, sometimes there's a divine appointment time. It was Butch's time. It was Butch's place. And I want you to bow your heads with me right now all around the auditorium. Because, you see, divine appointments are divine because God sets the appointment. God presents the message that you need to hear. I'm just his servant, and he sent me here today to bring his message. If it's to only one person this morning, he sent me here for you, and I'm on my way somewhere else. But as our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed today, somebody here, I'm sure today, needs to come back home to the Lord. You haven't been living for him. You used to be a soul winner. You used to witness for the Lord. You used to be faithful to church. You used to pray for your pastor. You used to invite your friends. You used to live for God. You used to have a testimony. But it's been a while. I'm calling you home today. I'm calling you home. This is your message. It's your appointment time. Father, I just want to thank you here today because I want to meet that person this morning. And I want to meet them right here at the altar this morning. For whatever their appointment is for, if they're getting saved today, they're ready to... Here's Lydia. She's down at a prayer meeting. She's been worshiping God. But Lord, until you opened her heart that day, she never prayed to receive Jesus. Here's the Ethiopian eunuch sitting in his chariot reading the scripture. He had been all the way from Ethiopia to Jerusalem to worship. He was on his way home, but he still had not been saved. God, let today be that divine appointment day for some one person today who needs Jesus. God, there may be somebody here today that has reluctantly put off committing their life to you, for you've called them to ministry, but they've just never made it a decision of the heart. They've never bowed their knee. They've never come to you with a broken and contrite heart. And, oh God, today I know that you are the God who brings healing in broken times. So I want to ask today, God, that you would mend broken fences. I want you to heal broken relationships. Touch broken hearts. Forgive broken promises and broken commitments. Father, love broken lives. Anoint broken people. Your word says the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. O God, I pray today that you would save this week those who come to you with a broken heart and a broken spirit. As our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed across the room, as I close off this prayer this morning, I will include you if you want me to. I promise, as always I have done, I'll never embarrass anybody. I'll never put anybody on the spot. I'm not going to ask you to say anything publicly. I'm not going to call out your name. I'm not going to call you up later. But I want to pray for you right now as an unspoken request. If you would just lift your hand across this auditorium, hold it up now. And you say, Brother Charlie, I want you to pray for me this morning because I believe this may have been a divine appointment day for me. Here, lift your hand. Just hold it up all across the room. Would you do that? God bless you. God bless you. Hold them up. God bless you. Not to me, but to God. God, you see every hand. You know every heart. You designed us and shaped us before we were born. And you made us, God, for a divine appointment. I pray, God, that the old things, God, would be confessed and forsaken as sin today, and that people would look to you and say, Lord Jesus, right now, and those of you who lifted your hands, if you're not already saved, you may want to pray this little prayer with me. Dear God, today, the best way I know how, I ask Jesus Christ to come into my life and be my Lord and my Savior. Forgive me of my sins. I give my life to you from this day forward. God, thank you today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Look up this way just a moment. We're going to sing just a couple of verses. David's going to lead us in an invitation song. But I'm going to ask you to come today and gather with me right here. Those of you, maybe some of you lifted your hands, maybe you did not, but you say, Brother Charlie, I want you to pray with me and for me about a decision, a commitment that I'm making in my heart. I want to invite you to come and just stand right here now with me. Let's stand together all over the building. Don't wait on anybody else. If nobody else comes today and he's calling you, I want you to step out right now and just come and stand here with me.
To Jesus I surrender.
stop just a moment. Guys, let me say something I wanted to say this morning, and I didn't say it. In John 6:37, the Scripture said Jesus was talking. And that day Jesus said, "Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out." He has never turned anybody away. There is no sin. There is no things that you have covered up in your lifetime. There is nothing so bad. Remember, God doesn't know a sin that He does not hate. He doesn't know a sinner that He does not love. He doesn't know a soul that He cannot save. He does not know another way except through Jesus Christ. And He doesn't know a better time than today. So no matter where you've been, Pastor Jeff and me, all we're here for, we see you when you come through those doors. And we're here to take you from wherever you have been and wherever you are in life. And we're just simply here to help you get to where God wants you to be. Let's sing one more verse. This is the end of the invitation. If He's calling you, please. He loves the unlovely. He loves the unlikely, the unexpected. Those of you who have so royally, maybe you've been a leader in church all your life. You may be a member of this church, but you've never been saved. You come on right now. This is our last verse, and we're going to pray.
I surrender.
Now, I want to just talk to those of you here right at the front for just a moment. I know that some of you have surely not accepted Christ as your Savior before. Would that be any of you here? Would you just acknowledge that with me right now? Is there anybody here? This is you're wanting to accept Christ as your Savior today? Is there? Okay. All right. I want you to go to the Lord right now in your heart. You just tell God why you're coming. What you're here for this morning. You're coming home to Him. You want to accept Him as your Savior. You want to turn your whole life over to Him. This is your day. It's your time. And we have pastors from the church that are all around here. And they're going to be standing, guys. If y'all could just encompass. DJ, could you come right over here, please? Right back over here. Anybody else? David, Joseph, could you come over here with this man, please? Guys, I don't want you walking out the door today till you've told one of the pastors why you're here. Not me, because I'm heading out. And I'm going to pray for every one of you, and I promise. And I want the church family to know this morning. I told Martha something this morning. It was so good to get to talk to her there for a minute. And I've told Pastor Jeff, there's not a morning of my life that goes by that they're not lifted up in my prayers. I oftentimes have told people, and I'm not ashamed to tell you this here at Indian Rocks, if you want a better preacher, pray for the one you got. Because you're going to make him better through your prayers. You got a great one, but God can make him better. Pray for the one you got. Tell one of the pastors today, God, thank you so much. You're so awesome. And thank you for the times in my own life, God, when I've had revival, personal renewal. I realized things were slack in my life and my heart was not fervent as it once was. Thank you, God. Thank you for every decision, every commitment across the room today. And oh God, bless these, each and every one right here. For those of you who are coming to accept the Lord, you need to follow your decision by being baptized. It's not the church's requirement so much as it is the Lord's command. And I encourage you to take that step of publicly being baptized to show forth the Lord's death, burial, and resurrection till He comes again. Get plugged into the church. Get active and get involved. And God, would you bless your people here this morning? I pray in the precious and holy name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you. Pastor Jeff.
All right, just remain standing. We're going close. Fellas, would you grab some, especially if you're coming to know the Lord today, we got some pastors all around you. They'd love to pray with you again, talk with you about some things to be involved with. So, guys, just come on in, introduce yourself, and go ahead and grab some. Hey, Rob, would you come over too and grab some? And go ahead and y'all can head out. We'll keep standing so y'all can head directions. And if you wouldn't mind, you can just head back to the, we won't be using the guest reception. If y'all want to head there, you can head out to the side, whichever you would like to do. God bless you, all right? All right. Praise the Lord for you. All right, praise the Lord for you. Amen. All right, good deal. Well, we're going to close in a word of prayer. Pastor Charlie, thank you so much. He's down here. Thank you so much. I appreciate and love you. And Stephanie, again, it's good to have you back too. And so I think Stephanie's got a plane to catch, but I think Charlie will be here a little bit. And so we're going to have a closing word of prayer. And somebody tell me that I hadn't forgotten anything. Okay, good. I don't know. I just have to have somebody tell me that. I feel better. That's why it's his fault if I forgot something. And so, but we've got so many things going on. But guys, I hope you'll hang around and head out to the Jamboree. Enjoy being with each other. And again, thank you so much. Charlie, would you come up here real quick? Hey, Charlie, would you come up here real quick? Sorry about that. Well, the line will form as soon as we're done. All right. Anyway. But I love you so much. Thank you, buddy. Thank you, buddy.
God bless you.
Such a great, yeah, it's good to have you here. Okay. Yeah, I'm not going to make her come up here, all right? I'm in bad enough trouble just making her stand. So anyway, well, God bless. Okay, let's have a word of prayer, and then you're dismissed, and have a wonderful day. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for your presence here today. And thank you for, Lord, just letting us all be together in one room and with Pastor Charlie sharing your message with us. Thank you for those that came forward in the decision that they had today. God, we know that wherever someone decides to trust you, God, it's evidence that you're at work among us. And of that, we are grateful. And so, Lord, we love you today. We thank you for the difference you've made in our lives. And God, as we head out today, God, bless our fellowship together as believers and part of being your family. And God, most of all, Lord, we thank you for Jesus. And it's His name we pray. And everyone said, amen. Amen. God bless. Y'all have a great afternoon.